Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend's message with you. You can find us on national.cc or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
You're going to make me ugly cry. I don't want to ugly cry. Grab your physical or digital Bible and meet me in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16. For those gathered in DC, Northern Virginia, or online, what a blessing. What a blessing to be with you today. To know that God created this moment before the world was created and called all of us to be here today. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous. And it is marvelous in our eyes. We give thanks. I stand on broad shoulders today. I am a fourth generation preacher, pastor, starting with my great grandmother, Lula, and my granddaddy, and my mama, and my auntie, and my uncle, just a whole lot of them. And they served as examples of what it looks like to carry the burden and the blessing of ministry. And so I am grateful for them, and I am grateful for their example. A big shout out to Church at the Well. Church at the Well is here. We are a faith and wellness community centering holistic well-being in mind, body, and spirit. And so I thank you for supporting us and supporting the mission that we can continue to offer living water to those who are thirsty, that they may drink from the well that never runs dry. I love when people say, "How's the well doing?" And then I say, "The well is doing well." I love that. Yeah. I'm grateful for my daughter, who's 10, and the grace that she offered mommy this week as I prepared for today. Amen. I'm grateful for my husband, Gene. I like when Pastor Heather calls him the secret sauce, because it's true. He is. He's the secret mumbo sauce. Amen? Glory. I just love him, and I love that we get to do this together. We get to trust God together. We get to do life together. And so I'm grateful for Gene, and I'm grateful for Jana. The word of the Lord is blessed, and I'm grateful that we are here together. The gospel according to Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And I'm going to read the NIV. And again, you can have your physical digital Bible or just read along on the screen. And it reads, "When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive, and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating," because, you know, the saints like to eat. "And he rebuked them
for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. For our time together, let us explore what it looks like to be a witness. Be a witness. This passage of scripture, it outlines how we need to align ourselves with the good news. Believe it, recognize it, live it, and share it. Those are the four ways that this particular passage tells us what our relationship needs to look like with the good news. And we're going to walk this out together. To be a witness, it has a dual meaning. The first meaning is the ability to see, observe, notice. To see, observe, or notice. Last year, I went to the National Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., and I went there to visit a special exhibit. It was titled, Called to Create, Black Artists of the American South. 40 works of art from the Souls Grown Deep Foundation. The exhibit offered a broader, unique look at contemporary art by American artists. I was excited to be there. The visit was part of my own Sabbath rhythm. So I took my time and I walked through the gallery and I read the description of each piece, and I could feel the transformative power of visual art. And then when I turned the corner, going into a different room, I saw these huge quilts from the G's Bend collection. And this is a work of art by generations of women from G's Bend, Alabama. And there were so many pieces, and some of them include Path Through the Woods by Missouri Petway. Another one was Blocks and Strips by Irene Williams. And then sharing the same title, Blocks and Strips by Mary Lee Bendoff. These quilts were colorful and bold and huge. And I don't know the exact dimensions of them, but they were like big, just like huge, just took the whole space on the wall. And I stood there in awe, looking at the details, the stitching, where the fabric had been placed to work together. And in that moment, I accepted the invitation to witness the power of faith, perseverance, and hope. And I was reminded that God can do a lot with my little. The next part of the exhibit, it included a short documentary. And this is where we examine the second meaning of witness, to be a witness. And the second meaning is to testify, make a claim, authenticate, to tell. This time, the quilt makers, they served as witnesses because the documentary captured their testimonies. I listened as they shared their personal experiences of hardship and triumph. They shared their creativity and innovation. They testified how they took scraps of leftover material, old clothes that had been outgrown and things that had been worn out. And they created something practical and sturdy, something that would last for generations. Listen, they were hip to the recycle and reuse situation long before we were. And as I listened, I started to realize that these were generational experiences. Because grandma taught daughter, and daughter became mama, and then mama taught the granddaughters, and then they would repeat the cycle all over again. Quilts were not created in isolation, they were created in community. They would go over somebody's house because they could just walk. They didn't have to drive. They would walk to someone's house, bring some material with them, bring some tools with them, and then they would sing songs of faith and songs of power. They would pray together, cry together, laugh together. They had a testimony, and they would declare, I don't know when and I don't know how, but all I know is God did it. All I know is that God did it, and God keeps doing it. Is there anybody in here that can testify God did it? Is there anybody in here that can say God made a way out of no way, and God keeps doing it? God has been good to me. God is good to us. It's like when I think back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony, and I know I'm not the only one. You know, there's that public testimony, and then there's that private testimony. Like, right here, we can just give thanks for the private testimony, for the things that we know what God has done in us and through us. In 1911, the Fisk Jubilee Singers recorded the song, My Soul is a Witness for My Lord. But in 2023, there are some of us who are unable to identify themselves as a witness for the Lord. There's some of us, it's like, I don't know who I'm a witness for. I don't know who I've been witnessing for. But in this season and over the past few years, there have been many discussions and sometimes debates about faith. About faith. And the examination of faith has often been filtered through the lens of deconstruction, reconstruction, and a faith that is under construction. And these concepts and conversations, in and of themselves, they're not bad. But if we're not careful, we will play around with words that we don't fully understand, that we don't fully comprehend. We will watch a 60-second social media video, and we will trick ourselves to think that we are an expert on all the things. Not on one thing. Not an expert on one thing, but we will start to believe that we are an expert on everything. We'll remove ourselves from community, go into isolation, and we will become more confused at the end than we were at the beginning. In order to be a witness, in order to have the ability to see God's grace and tell of God's goodness, we are required as believers to make a decision. We are required. It is necessary to make a decision. Make a decision for what? Make a decision to stand on the word of God and believe it. Too many of us, we're wavering and wandering in our faith. And it's not because we're curious or coming to God with inquiry. God loves questions. Keep them coming. Especially the hard questions. Those are God's favorites. But some of us are wandering and wavering because we're being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We're being tossed to and fro with every opinion and suggestion and thought and idea. Listen, some of us are trying to figure it out, but God has already worked it out. God has already worked it out. We must believe the gospel. Just turn to your neighbor and say, believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Turn to somebody else and say, believe the good news. If you're watching online, go into the chat and just say, I believe, I believe, I believe. Do an emoji. Just throw it in there. If you're at Nova, just say, I believe God too. We just heard you. Amen. When you make a decision to believe the good news, sometimes it may feel a bit overwhelming. Because you don't know what to believe. You know, it's like, how do I do that? Well, all you need to do is just hold on to one scripture, one prayer, one promise. Why? Because when I hold on to peace that is surpassing all understanding, I'm holding on to Jesus. When I hold on to grace and I hold on to mercy, I'm holding on to Jesus. When I hold on to the fact that the tomb is now empty, I'm holding on to Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. And there is salvation that will not move no matter what it is you're going through in the name of Jesus. Instead of holding on to Jesus, in chapter 16, verse 11 and 13, the disciples decided to hold on to their stubborn refusal to believe. My God, help us today. I said the disciples decided. They did make a decision, but they decided to hold on to their unbelief. Mary showed up and said, I have seen Jesus, and he is alive. And the disciples said, nah. No, we don't believe you. Then the two other followers, they showed up. And they said, yo, we were going for a walk, and Jesus appeared to us. We saw him. We saw him with our very own eyes, and he is alive. And the disciples, they said, we don't believe you either. Absent of humility, with a little touch of arrogance, the disciples were dismissive to the holy experiences and encounters of others. And while they were yet mourning and lamenting, while they were grieving the death of Jesus, three people brought the good news. three people brought the good news to them about the very thing they had been grieving about. The ability for the grief to come to an end was before them, but they did not receive it. Let this serve as a reminder. Jesus can show up to anybody, anywhere, at any time. And we don't get to choose who is worthy of a visitation from the Master. We don't get to choose how Jesus will show up. We don't get to choose how somebody will experience the Lord of their life. Humble us, God. And this is the part that gets me. Like, after spending years with Jesus, they still did not have enough spiritual awareness to know that the good news had come. They did not know. I think that's a good place to pray. Good place to pray for us. God, this is our prayer. Help us to believe the gospel, the good news, and help us to recognize the good news when it appears. May we not be so distracted that we cannot recognize Jesus when Jesus shows up. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary." There are people in our lives today, there are people in our lives who have very little desire to read the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But every encounter they have with a believer, every encounter they have with you, they should encounter the good news. They should encounter the good news when they encounter us, because we are called to live in a way that a person will notice or witness something about us, something about our lifestyle that is countercultural to certain social norms and standards. Things like being slow to speak and quick to listen. Like not being easily offended or defensive. If I'm on your street, just say amen. Just amen. We are called to live in a way that our friends will notice our willingness to have hard conversations in love and our ability to disagree and not disparage. They will notice our conviction to forgive others and ourselves, our ability to establish flourishing relationships, and our willingness to create healthy boundaries. Believers ought to live in a way that such people, folks who are paying attention, that they will see a difference in our attitude, our work ethic, and even the types of jokes that we will participate in. Are we embracing or are we resisting? Sometimes silence is not the appropriate response. Sometimes we need to say, "That's not funny, and I'm not going to participate in that." Friends, we must believe, recognize, and live the good news. Why? Because we are living epistles. We are living letters. The truth is, there is someone that you haven't even met that's been watching you. They're watching you from a distance. The question is, what do they see? And what are you saying with your life? Mary Magdalene and the two followers, they believed. The disciples, they eventually raised their awareness to recognize. Jesus gave the example to live. And now, the mandate has been given to us to share. To share. We've got to share the good news. We've got to share the gospel. Because when we reaffirm, when we share, when we tell the story of redemptive power, we tell the story of the cross and the empty tomb. This is a beckoning. We cannot afford delayed disobedience because too much is on the line. Our children and their children and their children will need to know that Jesus lives. Our children and their friends, they need to know the power of the saving and the risen Savior, Jesus. And they will know it when we who have encountered God, when we who have encountered God by walking down the street, paying for groceries with faith because it's really, really expensive, when we who have encountered God, studying for an exam and believing that God will bring everything back to our memory. When we tell them of our experiences, they will know that God is real. The question is, what shall we say? We will declare amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We will tell them, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. We will tell them my grandmother's favorite hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah! Glory to God. It is well with my soul, and it's well because I say it's well. It's well because the word tells me it's well. It's not well because of what I see. It's well because of what I know. Glory to God. Contrary to somebody's belief, the church is alive and she is well. I said the church is alive and the church is well. How do I know? I'm so glad you asked me. Her work in Baltimore, Maryland, at Hopeville with Pastor Joshua and Erica Simonette. I see the church in Tennessee at Bridges Church with Pastor Adonis Lindsay. I see the church in Sacramento, California, at the Hope Community with Pastor Caleb and Michelle Crenshaw. And just a few blocks from here, at the corner of 2nd and 4th Street in Northeast D.C., in the lower level of Ebenezer's Coffee House, there is a gathering of believers, and the church is here. Church at the well. Oh, yes, she is. Church at the well. It's one among many that's doing the work that matters most. Doing the work of being the hands and feet of Jesus in a time that people will tell you that the gospel is irrelevant. The devil is a liar. It's relevant and it's needed. And it is needed through us. There is no Abraca Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's no genie in a lamp. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is enough. Let us pray. God, it is our desire to be a witness for you, to see your goodness, to tell of your grace. Help us to believe and recognize and live and share your good news in our everyday living. From California to Maryland to Tennessee to right here in the nation's capital, we yield ourselves to you, for we are your people, and this is your church. We believe it, and we pray in faith, through faith, and by faith. Let the people of God say, amen.